John, let's turn over to John chapter 17. We'll go there. So, I'm speaking a message today, Unity in Him. This is the fourth message in the series, Resurrecting Hope. And so we are finishing well. Amen? Finishing well. This morning we bring our Easter series, Resurrecting Hope, to a close. And I've really enjoyed speaking this series of messages. And I think that it's really, honey, announcements. Whew. All right, remind me, because I won't do it at the end. All right. We'll do announcements at the end, because there are things you need to know. Praise God. And so we're bringing this to a close. And the title of this message, number four in this series, is called Unity in Him. And so let's look at what we studied over the last four, not weeks, but over the last four sermons in this series. What we've been looking at is that Jesus' resurrection not only brought him back from the dead, but praise God, it resurrected us as well. Amen? What happened was our spirits were dead in the Garden of Eden. When God said, "Muth, muth, Adam, you will die," he used two words, "muth, muth," in the original language. It means dying, you will die. And OSL 1, you're going to get into that. We're going to announce OSL when it comes to announcements. But I want you to know that there were two deaths. There was a physical death that would happen, but at that moment, there was a spiritual death. Their spirit died. Jesus rose from the dead. He meets his disciples, breathes on them, and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In so doing, their lives at his time of resurrection, their spirits then were resurrected within them and now have contact with God. No longer do we have to go to the priest. No longer do we have to go to the pastor. Now, those men and women are great to help us through our religious things and the things we got to walk through in our walk with God. But how many know you can go into God's presence? The veil has been torn from the top to the bottom to let us know it wasn't man that ripped it, but it was God that ripped it to say, no longer do you have to allow the priest to come into the presence for me. You can now come into your presence. So our spirits are alive and our spirits are communing with God. And so naturally after we die, we know that we will be resurrected in life and eternity with him. This is what Jesus told Martha and Mary, because he resurrected our spirit that was deadened by sin. But listen, here's what we've been talking about. Not only did he just resurrect our spirits, but he resurrected our dreams, he resurrected our futures, and as the title says, he resurrected our hopes. Amen? That's what we've been talking about over this special series. We saw on Easter morning that the disciples had lost all hope. Their hope was placed in a cold grave behind a huge stone that they could not move. But that hope came back very strongly as Jesus rolled the stone away, and as Jesus walked out of that tomb, all of a sudden there's great hope in their hearts because, hey, if he could do this, then surely he can do everything that he said he could do. And so we said that what you are going through may feel like one of the deadest times in your life. It may feel like one of the darkest times of what you're going through, but hope appears when we least expect it. So we need to be looking for what God is doing, rather than looking at what is happening. When we look at what is happening, what we're doing, and you've heard me say this before, but it's so true. If you've ever taken pictures, you understand perspective, okay? You can get to a certain point and focus a certain way that you can make something so large look so small. And you've seen the pictures with people holding Mount Rushmore in their hand or the sun between their fingers. Or that's all perspective. It's all where the camera lens is related to where those objects are. How many know that didn't diminish the sun at all because somebody's holding it in their fingers? Right? Because the sun is still huge. The sun is still hot. And if somebody was holding the sun in their fingers, they would have no fingers and they would have no life left. Right? We understand that. All right? It's all perspective. And so when we look at those things and make them bigger in our perspective, we make God smaller. But when we look from God's point of view, we make God bigger. And guess what? Even that cancer, even those situations that we're going through can seem so small compared to who our God is. It's all perspective. It's all in who we trust. It's all in how we're looking at what our God is. So we need to be looking at what God is doing. We said that love brings hope and that love triumphs over death. That our lives can be confirmation or they can be denial of our connection to Jesus. What is your life symbolizing today? What are you speaking to your coworkers about Jesus? Are you living for him or are you not living for him? We said that Jesus brings grace. And because of grace, our relationship with the Father is restored. Praise God for that. And then our relationship with others is restored. You know, we don't have everybody here today, and I get it. It's a holiday weekend. People are doing things. It's beautiful weather. I don't blame them. But here's the situation. We have a great relationship here at this church. I really want to thank Charlie and Dave for coming down. Do I have the right day? Thursday? Wednesday. Okay, can't get that right. They came down all the way from New Egypt and fixed our toilets for us. You should see Charlie hauling those toilets around. No, I'm kidding. But thank God she's not on the oxygen as much as she was, and her lungs are getting stronger, and we're believing for great things. But, you know, they came and they fixed the toilets. Ladies, you have all three toilets in operation in that room, praise God, and we're glad about that, amen? We don't want to see any lines, like at the football game, or, you know, we don't want those lines sticking out. It's a bad rap, right? And so, and thank you for that. I just wanted to thank you, but that's family. You know, that a couple from New Egypt, New Jersey, can feel connected to a church in Williamstown, New Jersey. And some of you travel some of those same distances. Dominica and Peter, I don't know where you're from exactly. Tom's River. So there we go. All right. So, you know, the people come here because something's happening. There's a relationship that's being built. And we believe that. Our sign says we're a church family, not a church. It says a family. Amen. And that's what God is building here. So praise God. If you found us by mistake, if you found us online, you just tuned in today and said, oh, yeah, Kenny Albert, I work with him. He just said that he's speaking today. I see what he's doing, you know, or I know him from school. I don't know how you joined us today online, but thank you. And I believe that what you'll sense, if you can get here, and, you know, maybe once a quarter we need to take a special love offering and bring Tresha here once a quarter so that she can still feel tied in, because it's been 2 years now that she's been tied in with us online and feels that this is her church. And so, you know, maybe we need to do something to make that happen. I know she's got a family and everything, so I don't know how all that works. But, you know, there's something about the family. There's something about relationship. There's something about what God is doing here. And praise God for that. Are we perfect? No. But I'll tell you what, we do have some deep relationships here, and I'm excited about that. And then in the last message, we saw how Jesus meets us in the midst of deep grief and sorrow. We don't always see that hope because we don't see the bigger picture like God sees. That's what I spoke. Our timing is not God's timing. There's been things I prayed for. I said, God, boy, I really need it now. And God says, you really don't need it now. But I know when you need it, and I know when I'll perform it. But you need to be okay if it doesn't happen in your now, because you don't understand what I'm doing. I see the bigger picture. My time is not your time. I'm not moved by 70 years. I'm not moved by minutes and seconds. I'm moved by eternity. I've got all eternity to move, God says, and I'm going to do things right. We think Jesus is late, but I want you to know, in our darkest times, Jesus is always just on time. How many have found that to be true? Praise God. Amen. God uses our lives to bring him some glory. Amen. Some glory. Praise God. He uses our lives to bring him glory. We also saw that God is not afraid of your feelings, so do not be afraid to bring them to him. And finally, I'd like to reemphasize that Jesus brings dead things to life. Trust him to do that in your life and in your situations of your life and in your dreams and in your hopes. Amen. So this morning, I want to bring it to a close, and I want to focus on the unity that he wants to bring to our church and to our lives. Think about this. Usually at the end of someone's life, when the doctor says, hey, you've got this many days left, not everybody gets this opportunity, because some people just go into eternity like that. But if somebody knows that the end of life is coming, think about the conversations that take place. And here's what you won't hear. You won't hear conversations about how many more vacations they wish they had taken, unless it's maybe being with family. How they should have purchased that big screen TV. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. Or how sad it makes them that they did not start a podcast and have 1,000 followers or whatever the case may be. Rather, what people talk about is how they had more time with their families. How they want to heal a broken relationship. I told you the story. Not every family gets this, but one of the joys of seeing my father pass into eternity was being in that hospital room that night, David and I, because we got there late. My sisters had spent the day, so David and I spent the night with him in that room. And I remember walking up to the side of the bed and saying, Dad, there's nothing that I need to hear from you, and I know that there's nothing that you need to hear from me, because we had settled all this stuff. It was all done. It was a done deal. And praise God for that. That's a joy if you can send somebody into eternity not worried about broken relationships and things that had been said and hurts and pains. Or how about, maybe I would have spent more time helping people. These are the conversations you hear when somebody's going to go into eternity. Why? Because these conversations center around the things that are really in the hearts of a man, right? That's it. That's what really matters to them. You see, when time is limited, people begin to speak from the heart. They no longer speak from, oh, I'd like to have this, oh, I'd like to have that, I'd like to do this. And, you know, even some things in the bucket list are cast out because, man, I only got some, you know, I need to find out what's really important to me. In these final words, it is these final words that we should really pay attention to because they are the things that became most important to that individual. Why do I say that today? Because I want to make a point about what we're about to read from Jesus' prayer here. As Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time, he's accompanied by his disciples. Now, the Jews from all over the world had come to Jerusalem because it was time to celebrate the festival of Passover. That time of Passover, much like what we're celebrating today, Memorial Day, is they would commemorate the time in history when God rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt by sharing in the Passover meal, the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and the Passover meal. And Jesus and his disciples find themselves eating this Last Supper, his Last Supper together. This is where they find themselves. And we know what happens. Jesus washes his disciples' feet to show them servanthood and his service to them. And then the gospel records Jesus' final prayer. How many think that's probably an important prayer? Amen? These are some of his last words to his disciples before his death. So I think that these things that we're about to read are things that were very dear to Jesus' heart, things that we should see and things that we should honor and things that we should live by. So let's look at them. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. His prayer. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And verse 26. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. What is it that is so important to Jesus in the last stage of his human life on this earth? Jesus prays for blessing over his ministry up to that point in time, those that I've spoken to, and then he prays also for those that they would speak to. He prays for protection for his disciples and power through his word. Many refer to these verses as the priestly prayer of Christ. In verses 20 to 23, Jesus turns his attention toward his believers and his followers. And what is unique is that the prayer is not just for those who were currently following him. It wasn't just for Peter. It wasn't just for John. It wasn't just for the other ones that were with him. But he also praying for anyone who would decide to believe what they were writing and what he had said and believe him in the future. So guess who Jesus is praying for? You and I. Amen? Can you see that there? It's very clear there, isn't it? So the prayer is not just for Peter, James, and John. The prayer is for you and me. Get this morning. Get it. Jesus prays that they, that we would be unified as one as he and the Father are one. This was the thought that was upon Jesus' heart as he's getting ready to go to heaven. May the church be one. May the church be unified. Now, I want to tell you, I still believe this. Sunday is still the most segregated day of the week. Even in the midst of what we're going through in our cities and in places like that, Sunday, we still have this church over there. We have that church over here. We have this church and that church, and nobody comes together. I believe that's going to change in the end days, in these end days. I believe that our churches are going to have to drop those things that we hold against one another. I want you to know there's nothing in this pastor's heart, and I try to make sure all the time there's nothing in this pastor's heart that I have against another church or against this or against that. because I would worship with anybody. And I love what God has given to us with our Baptist brothers and sisters down the street here with Brother David Mozell's church, that we can. And sometime in the next few weeks, you're going to hear me announce that we are going to do a service here, and then we are going to, whoever would like to go, we are going to go to their church. I'm going to speak a message, probably the same message, unless God gives me a different one. We're going to speak the message there, and then we're going to have a dinner together. And this is all on David's, Pastor David's heart, because on Good Friday, I blew it. I didn't realize that they were having time there. And I didn't know it, because even the way they had the room set up, it looked like they were just giving us the food to take home. And so what we did is we all left and came here and ate, because we thought that, and they were just handing the food out. What they did was they made the handout food so that if people wanted to go, they could, but they did have dinner, so we all bailed out. It was my fault, not yours. And so I called him that night, and I said, listen, brother, I just wanted you to know the reason why we left is I didn't think you were doing anything. And so he, well, we need to do it again, he said. Then I'm like, I'm in. So on a Sunday morning, we're going to have our service, go over to their service, and then together, whoever would like to go, we're going to have a time of meal together, and because it's important that the church does this, that we are in unity. And so the love of God unites us all. Amen? The love of God unites us all. Have you ever taken any notice to how divided our world is today? I'm sure that you have, because it doesn't take much to notice it. We are fractured along political lines. We are fractured along racial lines. We are fractured along theological lines and everything in between. It seems we're always looking for a reason to entrench ourselves in any argument that we can be a part of. Well, you know, I don't believe that, so, you know, so I can't take your side on that or this or that. And that, listen, that always results in division. Nothing good can come out of those things, nothing. And this is not what Jesus prayed for. The Bible says it was because of God's great love for the world that he sent his only son. Not God's great love for Ken, not God's great love for Glenn, not God's great love for Frank or anybody else, for the whole world. So the people you don't get along with, guess what? Jesus died for them. That church that maybe doesn't believe like we believe, or we don't believe like they believe, God died for them. He sent his son for everyone. God loves every human being on the planet. Now, he doesn't love the sinner and he doesn't love their brokenness, but he loves them. That means that there is no one who is beyond the love of the Father. And if you don't believe that, take your finger and point it back at you and say, wow, I was worthy of the love of the Father. Imagine that in your brokenness. In your sinful state, in the way that you used to think, in the way that you used to act, Jesus died for you. If you were the only person alive on this earth, Jesus still would have died for you, because God loves you. There's no one who is beyond the love of our Father. Jesus came to unite us, he says, under God's love, that we might be one with each other, one with him, as he is one with God. A.W. Tozer has many books, but one of the books that he wrote is called The Pursuit of God. And he writes in that book, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive to be closer. Think about that. If I take a certain tuning fork or a certain tuning machine, I tune every piano, I tune every weapon to that, every instrument to that. Well, they are weapons in the right hands, right? The guitar is a weapon in the hands of Brother Glenn. He's a worshiper. Amen? And so, yeah. And so, but I tune every instrument according to that tune. Those instruments are all going to flow together. They're all going to sound together. They're all going to be one. It wasn't because they tuned to one another. I didn't say to Brother Glenn, hey, tune my guitar to your guitar. No, we tune to the same instrument. We use the same tuning gauge or whatever they use and why. And so that gets our instruments together. We could say in this church, you know what we're going to do for the next month? We're just not going to speak the message of God, and we're just going to have dinners together, and we're just going to fellowship together. And some people say, hey, that's great, and we're just going to try to get closer, but that wouldn't happen. The closest we are right now is in this place when the Spirit of God is moving, and we're tuned into Jesus, It draws us closer. In my premarital counseling, I take the couple's name. I draw a triangle, and I take the couple's names, and I put them on the bottom of the triangle, and then I put God at the top. And why I do this is because I want this couple to know that though they are being married, they need God in their marriage. And the closer that they draw to God, the closer they come together. See, it's about tuning to God, not tuning to us. It's about trusting God in all of this. It's about allowing God to do. What a powerful view that is, and what unity looks like of what Brother A.W. Tozer speaks. Let me tell you what most people have in their minds when the church speaks of unity. They focus it with uniformity. And that's not what God is speaking about. I am not here to say, folks, next week we need to dress in the same clothes, the same type of clothes. Folks, next week we need to look alike. Folks, next week we need to do this alike. No, no. The greatest joy of the church, the greatest joy of this pastor in having a multicultural church is the different color skins, is the different accents, is the different backgrounds and the different people that come and work. Why is that? Because God, as we focus on Him, we don't have to be uniform. We need to be in unity. And He brings the unity. It doesn't mean we need to change the way we dress. It doesn't mean we need to change the way we look. Unless God says, you know what, sister, you know what, brother? You need to change that about yourself because that's not right. If God says that, that's different. That's not pastor saying, you know what, we all need to wear blue suits next week. And you know what, ladies, you need to wear dresses down to your ankles or whatever the case may be. We don't have to do that. One of the things I hear about our church when people say, come to our church, is I always hear this, you can come as you want. And that's exactly, you want to wear shorts, you wear shorts. Now, I will say this, we are coming into the presence of the living God, so let's not forget that reverence, but never do we want you to have to go buy a suit to come to church. Never do we want you to have to go buy a dress to come to church, because, you know, my grandmother, that was always her excuse later on in life. She wouldn't go to church. Grandma, why don't you go to church? I don't have anything to wear. She had every excuse in the book. Now, was she a Christian? She loved Jesus? She was. She couldn't get around very well, and her body wasn't in the best shape, but you know what I'm saying. And there are people today that probably, hey, you know, I don't have this. I'm not going to go to church. I don't have the right blanket on today, so I'm going to stay under it. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. But they associate unity with uniformity. How many know that it is not what Jesus is speaking about? Unity does not mean uniformity. The resurrection of hope, that's a series of these messages, is not reliant on every Christian looking alike and acting as carbon copies of each other. Instead, it's like white keys and black keys on the piano, tuned into different notes. We work in concert with one another because we have one unifying factor. We are tuned to the same tuning fork. We are tuned into the same Jesus. We are tuned into the same God. We are tuned into the same word that He spoke. And our lives are being changed. And oh, what a beautiful medley that brings to Abundant Living Church. I hope you hear this today. What Jesus is praying for is that every Christian worldwide throughout history would allow their hearts to be tuned to God Himself. I'm not asking you to tune into the doctrine of the Four Square Church. We have a powerful doctrine. We have a powerful theology about us. But I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to tune into this God, our Savior, Jesus, His Holy Spirit. Allow Him to tune your life. And that means that every time we come in this building together, every time our women meet, every time our men meet, every time our children meet, every time our youth meet, every time something happens where we meet, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a beautiful unity in what God is doing. Praise God. So that in the midst of our differences, in the midst of our uniqueness, that we might be unified in our love for Him. Many years ago, our men know this. Our men that attend men's meeting, they know this. Many years ago, I began to see the banter at our men's group. This is years and years ago. So some of the men that are in it today wouldn't even know this. But it would be the football teams, and it would be the cars, and it would be, you've heard me say this before, but I think it makes a good point. And the Lord really spoke to me because I thought, God, I really want to see our men's group unified. I really want to see men come together. But every time we come together, we talk about this and that, and it really divides us. Now, I'm not saying that it's like, oh, man, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's a division there. This Chevy's better than Ford. Ford's better than Buick. Listen, what does that do? So you know what we began to do? We began to talk about Jesus. We began to put the banter away. We began just to discuss the one thing that we all have in common, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you ask any man that attends that group on a regular basis, and they'll tell you, I believe this in all my heart, that our men's group is very unified. That our men's group is like one whenever we come together. And that's a powerful thing for me as a pastor. And so, in the midst of our differences, in the midst of our uniqueness, we're unified in our love for Him. And for what reason? God's love for the whole world, for every single person. I was going to ask Brother Glenn, and I didn't do it because I didn't feel the Holy Spirit just, but we were going to sing a song right before I spoke. He's the God of this nation. You know, there's greater things are yet to done, you know, because I wanted to remind you that because of the unity that we have and because of His love, that's what God wants to do in us. He wants to send us out of this. Listen, He wants to send us out of this place today to our homes, to our workplaces, to the places where we do life, to minister and care for others. You get that? That's what unity is all about. What's the Bible say? They'll know that you're my disciples by the way that you care for and love one another. Praise God. So the unity that Jesus prays for is meant to be a beacon of hope to a watching world. If you're watching us online today and you're seeing that, you're wondering about us or about what this church is about, I just want you to know that God has a plan for this and He loves you. And hopefully you're going to see His love in us and His person in us and His character in us, and you're going to see great things. The unity that Jesus prays for is meant to be a beacon of hope to a watching world. That is, those who are far from God witness the love that exists between us, church, they might be drawn to Him themselves. Amen? Secondly, we need to fight for unity. It's not going to happen on its own. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to fight for unity. We need to believe for unity. We need to pour everything that we have to be unified. It is a bit heartbreaking. You're going to sing that song? Oh, okay. Let's sing it at the end. Is that okay? Stay where you're at. Huh?
Which song?
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know what? They didn't understand what I was saying, but that's fine. Let's just sing it, and then I'll finish the message out, okay? Praise God. I'm sorry, Brother Glenn. I didn't make that clear, but go ahead. Go ahead. Because it's a song I really did feel that we wanted to sing, so praise God. Thank you for being obedient. I think Dave shut me off. Let's keep in mind that the reason why God wants us to be unified is because there's a job for the church to do. Amen? So let's sing.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Greater things have yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city.
Like our God, there is no one like our God.
There is no one like
Amen.
Our
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen, Lord. Yes, God.
There is no one like our God.
There Amen. Is Amen. No one like our Let's declare it today, church. Hallelujah.
There is no one like our God.
Amen. Amen.
Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
Praise your name. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to sing that song. You can be seated. I wanted to sing that song. Thank you guys so much. I wanted to sing that song because I wanted to remind you that God's not done yet. But how many know He can't take a church out of the church building? You'll see a sign over our door that says a reminder that you're going into the harvest field. He can't send us out if we're all fractured. He can't send us out if we're not in the same mindset. We'll be no good for the week. It's when we come into unity that we're going to get the things done. Now, let me share with you what just happened there, because we were going to sing that song before, and then I wasn't going to sing it, but I think it was the Holy Spirit. So listen, the way I am today, I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to flow. But when Brother Glenn got up, I'm thinking there's a fire behind me. And I'm like, what's going on? Because he runs up there, and then he runs to the back. And so I'm trying to preach and trying to stay focused, because I don't realize what's going on. Nothing that he did wrong. I think he was led by the Spirit in that. It was just the right time. But it was just so funny that I'm trying to stay focused. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, there must be a fire back there. There's smoke. There's something going on. And then I see Jose and Lucy get up. I'm like, oh, this is something's wrong, man. And, I don't hear anybody shooting, so I think we should just go on. You know what I'm saying? Woo! Whew. Great burden off of me, because I didn't know what was going on behind me. They just wanted to sing a song that I had asked them to do, and it came at the right place. Amen. And so, folks, what do we need to do? We need to fight for unity. This isn't going to come naturally. It is a bit heartbreaking to read Jesus' final priority said this today, because it was already in my heart. To hear him pray what he cared about most, the unity of his people, and then think about the current state of his church today. It's heartbreaking. There's no tears in heaven, but it has to be heartbreaking to Jesus, too. To say, I've given him everything. I've died to pay the price. I've given them the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've given them every tool that they could ever have to win this world. And they can't even get along with one another. I mean, there's two churches next to one another, and they're fighting it out. And they're not doing anything together. Listen, I'm afraid that we have decided to focus on all the ways that we are different and be at odds with one another rather than focus on the things that we have in common. And I'm going to be a pastor, I promise you this. I'm going to focus with any church that I can. I'm going to focus on what we have in common. And I'm not going to worry about whether they speak in tongues or not. I'm not going to worry about whether they believe in eternal salvation or not. I'm not going to believe in whether they believe this, whether they're this or that. I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm going to say, I want to see the church come together. Many, many, many years ago, was it Acme in Hamilton? Acme went out of business. It was a big empty store there before the Chinese restaurant went in and before the car park place went in there. And a group of us churches, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Pentecostal, we said, let's do something in this community. And we rented that store. I think it was given to us for free for a week. And we went up to North Jersey and we found a charismatic Catholic priest. And we brought him and we filled that place with chairs. And we brought him in for, I think, probably 4 or 5 nights of services. And each team, music team, I think, worked one night or did it one night or something. And you know, it was just a glorious time for the town of Hamilton. It was the church as the church. It didn't matter what they believed. You know, there were Catholics and Protestants worshiping together. This priest who was on fire for Jesus just brought a word each and every night to the people. And it was just something, you know, that can happen. And we need to believe for that. And we're going to be a church that's involved in that wherever it is happening. And so I believe that. The truth is, living your life with love for God and a love for people, it's no easy task. Have you discovered that? Because the minute you start to live in love for people, somebody's going to come along and just smack you across the face. And I don't mean physically. I mean, they're just going to say something, they're going to do something, and it's just going to set you wrong. Why? Because that's what the enemy wants to bring. He wants to bring division. If you stay in this church long enough, there's going to be something that happens that the enemy's going to say, you need to leave now. You need to go. Stay. Fight it out. If there's a problem that we need to talk about, let's talk about it. I'm not a perfect man. And there's sometimes I'll say things or I'll do things that may hurt you. I don't mean to do that, but it may happen. Stay. Talk with me. Let's talk it out. People just leave. I never hear from them again. And it's breaking the unity of the church. Let's work these things out. I believe that we're a people that love one another. I believe that we're a people that really do honestly care for one another. And in the midst of that hurt, let's stop that hurt and those offenses from breaking the love that we have. Let's allow the love to be more powerful than the other. Amen? Amen. And you know what? People won't leave. People will stay. And great things will happen. People will make you angry. I get it. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. People will offend you. But as Christians, we must strive to live in unity with one another. It's forceful. You're going to have to call people and say, where you been? I miss you. Let's go lunch. Let's go dinner. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Let's ride together. Let's do something today. Amen? You're going to have to. Because that's the way it is. You've got to do it. Yeah, but they're not talking to me. Who cares? Call them. Yeah, but who cares? Call them. Get in touch with them. The Apostle Paul speaks to the struggle of remaining humble, gentle, and patient in our relationships with one another over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me read verse 3 again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In verse 3, Paul uses the word endeavoring. Here's what he's saying. What he's telling us is we need to make every effort, endeavor, make every effort. If you're endeavoring to do something, you're going to do whatever you can to see that thing come about. I mean, you're going to go out and pay a price. You're going to go out and do this. You're going to go out and do that because I'm endeavoring to make this happen. And so he says we must make every effort to keep the unity of peace that has been given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Because how many know just coming to church and singing the same songs together and praying the same prayer together isn't always going to cut it? Amen? It's going to cost something. We must take the example that Jesus demonstrated throughout his life. We must carry ourselves with humility, Paul says. We must remain kind-hearted. In this world that we live in, it's very hard to do, but we must. We must have patience with one another. Patience goes a long way. And he doesn't just tell us to do these things, but he gives us the big reason why. It is because we have been given one spirit, one body, and one hope. Pastor David Mozell's church, who's just about to meet, or basically, I guess, a half hour in their service right now, they aren't getting a different spirit and a different body of God and a different hope than we are here today. We have one. And so we have to make sure we foster that between us. And we have to make sure we live in a way that keeps that between us. Because there's not a Pentecostal body and hope. And body and spirit. There's not a Baptist body and spirit and hope. No, it's all one. It comes from the same God. He is the same God. I know so many churches that are going through difficult transitions even right now. I'm thinking of one locally. You may not know it. It's been in the news. I only know it because a woman that I work with goes there, and it's a horrible split right now that's happening. Pastor leaves the building because he's made to leave the building. A board steps up and he has to go across the street and meet. It's a mess. It's a mess. Pastors leaving. Pastors falling into sin. People and leaders having a different theology. It's painful to see this in churches today. It's painful to see people leaving churches. It's painful to hear some of the things that have been said about the church from the world because of what they're seeing. But even in the midst of the struggles and the differences of opinion, church, we must find a way to focus on the most important thing that we have in common, and that is our love for Jesus Christ. Please don't allow anything to stop that and what we have in common with one another. We need to dig down deep, and we need to come together, and we need to fight for what Christ died to give to us and what he calls us to. He has unified us when everything else has tried to tear us apart, but we need to fight for it. When we fail to fight for unity within the church, it becomes very easy to allow everything to become an us versus them mentality. Let's stop that. In our minds, there are two sides. Well, if one side is right, then the other side is, of course, it's got to be wrong. And if we are not careful, the individuals on the other side of the argument then become enemies. And we forget that we have this intrinsic value as Jesus prayed over his disciples and for the future church. He was praying for them. And when Jesus sacrificed for his disciples and for the future church on his life on the cross, he did it for them, but he did it for us. Paul in verse 6 says that there is one God, one Father over all, and that he is in all and through all, including that church member that you don't agree with, including that person that you may not even like. They are divinely worthy, and they are loved by God. Amen. And my third point tonight, we can do more together than we can apart. Let me say that again. We can do more together than we can apart. The mission of God could have been accomplished by Jesus himself, couldn't it? He could have done it. He was powerful enough. He was the Son of God. And listen, yet he chose to make us a part of it. Not only did he choose to make us a part of it, but get this, what was he thinking? He left us in charge of it, right? He went to heaven. He said, I'm leaving. Okay, I started this thing. I'm leaving, and I'm going to place it in your hands. Do you know us, Jesus? Do you get the wreck that we are, the people that you've left, this end of the world thing, this harvest, this, wow, salvation? You left it in our hands? What were you thinking? One of the most astonishing things about our faith is that we believe Jesus invited human beings just like me and you to join him in his rescue plans of the world. Think about that. Why? Because he knows what we're capable of if we're one. He knew it. He understood it. Jesus had 12 ordinary men who bought into the idea that heaven could be brought to earth. Though he did not have to, Jesus chose them to be the ones who would carry that plan of God throughout the world. It is because Jesus knew that they could accomplish more together than they could ever do on their own. And I want to say this, when God's people, when the church work together in love, it's going to bring hope, not just to us, but it's going to bring hope to the world. I think some of the answers to some of the things we see in the news would be the churches all getting together and doing something powerfully. Amen. There's a young man. Well, he's still young compared to me. I want you to look him up. I want you to see about him. He's been in this church before. We're bringing him back this year. I don't have a date yet. His name is Hans Nelson. He is a black rapper, a Christian gospel singer. And he has worked since he's been with us years ago, he has taken all of this time and has worked on a movie that is finally finished. It's called Jesus Saves. And he's really trying to promote this and really trying to get it out in the community. He's going to come and do a service here in the future. We're working on dates together to get him in here. But I want you to be tuned into what's going on in his life because he's in the inner city of Philadelphia. He's in those streets where people are shooting each other constantly. And he wants to see a difference, and he's calling pastors together, and he's putting a cry out in text messages, and he's putting a cry out on the internet. Churches have to come together. Pastors have to come together and be a part of this process. Pray for him. He goes by Hans Soul is what he goes by. So if you look him up, you can look up Hans Soul, S-O-U-L. But his name is Hans Nelson. And he's just a great young man of God. He's got a great vision for the cities of God and for the young people. Jesus knew that we could do it if we worked together. And in and of ourselves, listen, we don't have much to offer. What a mess we are. We're fragile. We're broken people. But something special happens when we come together. Something special happens when we unite over our love for God and allow that love to motivate us to change the world. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things will soon be done in this city. A common image that is used in the scriptures to describe the unity in Christ looks, what Christ looks like is the human body. And Paul talks about this a few verses later over in Ephesians. Look at verse 16, 4:16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You hear me refer to these verses a lot in different messages. The body, the measures of faith, the body coming together. Paul compares the church to a body with many parts. Hands are connected to arms. And you go back to, Pastor Rick just spoke about it a couple weeks ago. Go back to that image we had of a skeleton that we would build every week here called ALF, Abundant Living Family. And that skeleton, we never had a full skeleton once we separated all the parts. We gave each family a part of this skeleton. And we never had a full skeleton again any Sunday because there were people who were not, just people weren't there at any given time. But the one lesson was a little bone about this big that April Keller had. She didn't show up one Sunday, and that was the bone that went from the skull, which represented Jesus, to the rest of the body. Do you know we had no skeleton? We just had Jesus, because we were reliant on April to bring that little piece of bone. That the rest, and every Sunday we would build that skeleton so you could see what a mess the Abundant Living Family was because somebody wasn't here. Now, it wasn't the Lord over them and say, hey, you didn't bring the hand. Hey, you didn't bring the arm. Hey, you didn't bring, no. It was just, and you know, people still talk about this. Brother Dennis Shear still talks about this to me. About what a great image that was. The Lord gave me that. That wasn't me. I have heard story after story of churches just like ours who have stepped in major times of needs. Hurricanes and other disasters. COVID. When a family loses everything due to a house fire. And each time I have witnessed the body of Jesus Christ at work to bring healing and to bring restoration and to bring a resurrected hope. Church, we aren't done yet. We are not done yet. There is so much more to do, just as the song said, but we need to be working as one to get it done. And there is so much that the enemy is working against us to keep us from the unity that Jesus expects us to have. So, in closing, think, who are the people in your mind that you have written off because they're so different from you and you've not lived in unity with them? Who are the people that you have determined don't deserve the love of God? What if together we recognize that we could be a part of the answer to Jesus' prayer with his disciples? That we can choose to be one as Jesus and the Father are one. And when he chose to do this, we might just see the world transformed. Pastor, I can't believe where our world is. Look where the church is. If the church would change, if the church would unify, I believe the world would be a different place. I believe that you'll see your workplace transformed. I believe that you'll see your home transformed. I believe that we'll see our community transformed. And I believe that we'll see our church transformed. Amen? Can we pray?